The host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Right. Good morning, St. Louis, and welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I am excited to be here with you today to talk about everything related to your home, home remodeling projects, repairs, home maintenance, whether you're planning a major renovation, tackling a DIY project, or just looking for some tips to keep your home in tip-top shape. You've come to the right place. I'm here to answer all your questions and help you find solutions to your home improvement challenges, anything you've got going on. So give me a call today. Phone lines are wide open, 314-436-7900. Again, that's 314-436-7900. Let's get those questions, answers, and those projects underway. Let me help you make your home like it never felt so good right here on KMOX. And we've got Cardinals coming up in the next hour. So we're going to have a little bit into that hour, but then we can also stick around. We'll have a full home improvement show today all the way to 1 o'clock. You just need to jump over to 97.1 FM to get into that second half once Cardinals show up. And if you're here for the Cardinals, then congrats. Good luck, Cardinals. Go, Cardinals. And let's see what they can get done today. So here on the show, we've had some really great things going on. We've had a lot of questions, a lot of answers. We've had a lot happening in the last month or so with the weather, the heat, a lot of things going on. And a lot of topics I haven't been able to get through, which is good because you guys calling in your questions, the answers, the conversations is really what makes this show completely what it is and makes it so great. So again, today you can find me. We'll have two straight hours, 314-436-7900. And speaking of calls, we got Tom on the line. Let's jump over to Tom and see what's going on. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having the show.
Oh, you are welcome.
I have a house that was built in 1966, and I took the tile off of a bathroom, and there's some, we'll call it concrete. It's got a little bit of a chicken wire, it looks like, with the concrete. And I've talked to a few different people that do tile, and some people say you need to take, let me take a step back. The concrete's in good shape. It's pretty level.
Oh, okay. It's pretty flush.
Yeah, it's pretty flush. There's not that much damage to it.
Okay.
And so my question is, some people have said you need to take all of that concrete out, so basically start from scratch, and others have said you can just lay the tile over what you already have because it's in good shape. And so my question is, what do you think that is the proper way to, when you're laying the new tile, do I need to get rid of it or should I keep it?
So if, is the tile where you took it down in your bathroom, does it go around the entire room?
Yeah.
Okay. But it is around like the bathtub, the shower, you took the tile off down to that concrete backer in the shower area?
No, the shower's fine. The tub's still good. I actually redid the shower last year, and that's in good shape. The part that's not is the rest of it. So it does go up to the tub, and around the toilet and that sort of stuff.
Okay, and so you put new tile around the shower some years ago. That's got a newer system.
No, I got rid of all the old tile that was in the bathroom.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so
No, there's no tile around the tub.
Oh, okay, I got you. So it's just a bathtub.
Yeah, the tub's, well, there's tile in the shower, that's all new.
That's all new and good.
On the floor, I got rid of all the old tile that was there.
Gotcha. So So both things you are hearing are fine and are a good, correct conversation. If that backer, the concrete you've got under that tile and you took the tile off, is really in that good of shape and it's nice and flat and you can get a good tile job on top of that, I feel comfortable that that would be a fine thing to do. That is usually very hard, and that's why most people say just get rid of it, because usually it comes out so rough and so brittle and broken up that it's very hard to put tile on top of it again, and you end up having to coat it and smooth it and do all this work where you can just get rid of it and start over with new backer. Now, if you were in a shower area with shower walls where your shower head is going to be spraying and spraying the walls and getting all over everything, then I would say it would be my preference to take out all of that concrete and go with a newer, upgraded, better backer system behind the tile that actually drains, kind of creates like a drainage plane, and it controls water and keeps water out of the walls and the floors and all that from even when the tile, like say the grout cracks or the caulk cracks, and the backer would help keep that water where it needs to be going to the drain, all that there. I would say I would feel better getting rid of the concrete. But if you're out in the bathroom area and you're not taking showers on it, you're not filling up water on it, and it's out in the bathroom area on the floor or the walls, then now I'm comfortable saying go right on top of that concrete backer that's already there. If you can get a nice, smooth, set-on mortared tile job and it's nice and flush and looks good to you, then I would absolutely say go ahead and do that. So it's kind of up to where you're at.
Won't it raise the floor the 2-3 inches? So you'd have to cut the doors.
Well, really, if you've got that concrete backer there, you're just basically, and it's nice and smooth, you're just basically putting, and it's not cracked or having leveling problems or movement problems, you're just basically doing mortar and tile right on top of that. I would clean it up and I would seal it. You want to make sure your mortar is going to stick to it good. So make sure it's kind of cleaned up and roughed up and it's clean to where there's not a lot of dust so the mortar can actually stick to it well. But so all you're really adding is another like quarter inch layer of mortar and then the tile. So you're maybe only adding 3/4 of an inch.
Okay.
And even if you did another concrete backer board on top of that, they make some thinner ones that are more like 1/4 or 3/8 thick. So you could mortar that on, then mortar your tile. So then maybe you're going about an inch and an eighth raised up with the new tile. So you just might have to cut that door down a little bit, but it shouldn't go up 2 or 3 inches.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for answering my question. Have a great day.
No problem. You too. I appreciate it. And hey, we're going to get into our first break here. And Mark, if you could hold through the line through a quick break, we'll get to you as soon as we return. For everybody else, you can find us here. We got plenty of time. 314-436-7900. Stay tuned. All right, guys, we are back, having a great time today. Phone calls coming in really, really quick today. A lot of time for everybody. Going 2 full hours for you. You can find me at 314-436-7900, like Mark found me. And thanks for holding through the break there, Mark. I really appreciate it. Are you there, Mark? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am. And long-time listener, first-time caller. Really appreciate your show, Rich.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I was doing a walk around the house, you know, like you always recommend, and kind of seeing what needs to be done. And I noticed that I have a 2-story with a walkout, and and I have a fireplace, and the chimney is wrapped in vinyl siding. And I noticed at the very top of it, there appears to be some rust or something that's kind of like, you know, I guess maybe it's been there a little longer than I had hoped. But it's starting to, you know, get on some of the vinyl siding and that. And I'm curious, like, what causes some of that rust, something I need to be concerned about? And then who do I really call to have somebody look at it? Is it just a normal chimney sweep type company? Is it a different type company? Any insight would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, yeah. No, you can. Any type of chimney sweep would be good, or a fireplace install company. They take care of those chimney caps too, because they install the pipes and the caps and all that when houses are built or when we remodel. So like Arnold Stove or C. Bennett Supply would be a couple of places where they supply and they install all sorts of different fireplace units. Basically what it is you have a cap on top of that chimney that's metal, and the metal flue pipe comes through the center of that cap, and they've got their little kind of suction O-ring that goes over, it's on that pipe, so it kind of keeps the water from running down the pipe and getting right mm-hmm. at that seam. But they okay. for cost efforts, they use galvanized metal, and that galvanized metal over time will rust. So all the different metals they can use will have a different lifespan. And so
what do you recommend I suggest then when I have them come over?
I would say that they need to replace that flue, that cap, that metal cap.
Right.
And depending on if you were really, really into like, I'm gonna live here for the remainder as long as I can, and this house is even maybe it's gonna stay in my family, maybe one of my kids would want it, then maybe you could consider going to a different metal. But that chimney cap of the galvanized, I mean, sometimes it can, if they don't pitch it well where water runs off, it will obviously rust quicker than if they do. So if they install it well, I mean, you could get easily 20 plus years out of that chimney cap being the galvanized metal. So, and your biggest concern now is just power wash, clean up the siding, get the rust, the aesthetic look back, but replace that cap first so that it doesn't produce more.
Question. So replace the cap first and then have them power wash the house in that.
Yeah, yeah, and then clean up that siding with the siding, vinyl siding, composite, kind of soap, detergent, power wash, and that rust color should come off that siding.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your insight, sir.
Absolutely. No problem. And we've done, I've done in the past some different caps where stainless steel is pretty expensive. Here at Mosby, we do a lot of work in Clayton and Kirkwood and Webster Groves and a lot of these Richmond Heights kind of more mature areas. And I've gotten into some copper chimney caps that are really, really cool, really, really look great. Copper metal. I mean, when you see it on these old buildings, if it goes bad at a young age, we're talking 60 years or something. I've seen copper on 100-year-old homes that are original metal to some of the flashing and the caps and some of that. So copper is a great, great, very expensive material. So you're kind of good, better, best going up. But that galvanized for your standard framed home with vinyl siding, that galvanized metal is going to get you 20, 25 years if it's installed well and water runs off of it well. I've seen it 10, 15 years need to be replaced if it's puddling and water doesn't come off it quickly, that sort of thing. I think my home was built in 2001 or 2002, and it has the original galvanized metal on it. And I haven't had to do anything with it yet. So it's a good lifespan, and it works well. And so kind of going around and looking at things like this and talking about things like this, we run into all sorts of scenarios like that. And to me, and kind of what I try and do here, the same as going around on a day-to-day basis and meeting with people and talking about options and how you can do things. It's really just about that education, an educated consumer that understands exactly what they're getting or they could have or how long it should last and all these different pieces to what we're doing. It's just a good thing to know and understand. So calling into the show like this and finding out information and understanding how, you know, what's the shortest this might last, what's the longest, how do I do this, it can help you decide whether to go to the next step, the next level in your situation, because there's always different ways and directions and things like that to go. I'll never forget years ago, I was looking at pants when I work, when I go out for Mosby, I wear some kind of nice looking pants, I guess. I try and look nice, but I also will go into your attic. Or just yesterday I was inspecting a house and I'm laying on the ground, getting underneath a deck, taking photos, trying to figure out how the house is flashed and why it's having leaking issues. And so the pants I'm buying aren't like really, really good. And I was at, I think it was like Men's Warehouse or one of those. And they're like showing me these pants. I'm looking for some nice pants, but I only want one pair for like nice events. And they're like, well, we could take these and we can adjust them in and out so we can make them last for years and do this. So he's kind of trying to tell me all the positive thing about these pants. So maybe I'll buy more pairs in order to use them for work and all of that. And I'm going, you can make these pants last me really long time. And they cost like three or four times the ones that I buy. And that could be a good value right up until I slide underneath a deck and I rip them on a nail or something. So it's like, I'll buy those pants for the nice events, evening things, all of that. But now my work pants, I'm trying to get on sale. And I'm trying to get something of a little better value for my usage for them because I'm getting them dirty. I'm in an attic. I'm under a deck. I'm in a crawl space because I still need to go to these places and figure out what's happening and how's this house functioning. And we can get a little more into that. I do have a list. I can go over how I kind of looked at this house and what did we really find and what was going on with that home in particular, and kind of things for other people to look for inspecting around your home, like Mark did. It's a great thing to just get outside, walk around. I've been preaching this for years. Just look at it. You don't have to be the professional to see something out of place. And grab your umbrella and do it while it's raining. And see what's happening to the water, to the gutters, to the downspouts. Is there anything? Because it could be shooting out all over the place on the side of the house that doesn't have a lot of windows, and you have literally no idea what's going on. So do something like that even once a year is just a great, great thing to do. So, hey, we're going to get into our break. Plenty of time, plenty of stuff going on for you. 314-436-7900 is where you're going to find me today. And don't forget, even into the following hour, once the Cardinals start, go to 97.1. You want to stick with the Home Improvement Show, and we'll have plenty of time, plenty of questions, plenty of answers going all around. We'll be right back after this.
KMOX.
All right, everybody, we are back. Plenty of things we can go over today, including your calls, your concerns, your questions right here live on the air, 314-436-7900. We had Tom and David call in, so if you jump back in, give us a call back. We will get you on as soon as we can. So, oh, there's David. He just popped back in. David, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling. What's happening?
Calling you up here. I just heard your show, and I thought I'd ask this question. We've lived in this house for ages and ages. It's a ranch home, and okay, it's brick all the way around. It's a multicolored brown and beige type of brick, And then underneath, of course, is the concrete foundation. And when we bought this house something like 40 years ago, somebody had painted that concrete foundation. And it's had a tendency of cracking and popping out on the concrete. And I wanted to put some sort of covering on the concrete. I have tried to patch it up umpteen times with different compounds and whatever and glues the whole thing in. And it just doesn't work. And what I'm looking for is a way to somehow cover it up with hardy board or some sort of concrete board that looks like concrete, and I can put it in vertical pieces anywhere ranging from like a foot high to like 5 foot high or whatever, and somehow glue them or fasten them to this concrete wall and then paint it beige like what it's been, and do something like that to cover up the concrete. There's no errors or whatever you call it, problems with the concrete as far as it not supporting the house, or that I need to have it reinforced underneath the ground. I've had people look at it. I just want to, they said it's okay. It's just because the rebar in that was poured too close to the concrete edging or whatever face of it, and that makes it pop out. So I just want something that I can cover it with, and wanted to know what your thoughts are.
Well, so that is a very interesting question, because really anything that you cover that up with is going to be pretty susceptible to water getting behind it when it rains and gets wet. And because if your brick and your foundation are flush right now, anything you add is going to kind of protrude out.
That's right. That is
a little bit thicker, and that top edge is very hard to keep caulked, mortared. It'll crack there, it'll open, and you'll constantly get, I think you'll constantly battle the pieces wanting to move and come off and fall off because of moisture and water and things getting behind that material that you put on there. And most of those concrete boards and siding, like concrete siding boards, aren't really, they're nailed, and they kind of hang. They're not really meant to be glued to a surface completely and with a lot of moisture getting behind it. I would look more for either somebody that can do a concrete coating. So there's companies out there that coat concrete. You've probably seen it on a sidewalk or a patio, and they can, or like a pool deck, the cool deck, that's like a coating that they can spray on. And so what they can do is where you have a lot of this rebar that is too close to the surface
and cracked correspondingly.
Yep. They can put on like a Band-Aid over that. It's a carbon fiber kind of material that they epoxy onto the wall, and that will cover over that crack, those missing areas. They can put this epoxy over it and the carbon fiber, and it kind of holds everything together. And then they can put a coating over the whole concrete surface. And that's probably going to be your best bet. I see that a lot on the horizontal surfaces, like a front porch that's got a couple cracks in it, and they put that carbon fiber on the cracks. It's really strong. It kind of helps hold those cracks from wanting to move too much. And then they put a coating over it that looks decorative, looks nice. So you could do the same thing vertically on that foundation. And I think that's your best bet that's going to last the longest, because you're not going to get so much water through it and underneath it. And kind of take it off, you know, because, I mean, when Mother Nature's trying to ashes to ashes, dust to dust, she's using the rain and the storms and all of that to break this stuff down. So if you've got something really thick and water and moisture keeps getting behind it, it's going to come off a lot quicker than like a thin coating that doesn't let a whole lot through it or behind it.
So who do I call that can do that?
I would look for concrete coating companies.
Okay.
Just even if you Google search concrete coating and look at companies that do sidewalks and porches and stuff, they can do that same thing vertically on your foundation.
Okay. All I know is dealing with concrete like that and trying to put patches in it, it just never works.
Yes.
Not over the, you're talking about a fiberglass underlayment under that. That could be a help.
Yeah, that would be the big help, because where those patches, when you have a chunk out or you have a crack, where those patches are is where it always pops back out later. And you have, but so this epoxied on carbon fiber, I mean, if you imagine a piece of tape that's like a foot wide and it's epoxied on, it'll keep all of that bad area behind it.
Right.
It'll keep water from coming through, all that, and then they coat over top of that and kind of float it out. And that's your best bet, and that would last the longest for you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks. I need some advice. I need some help. I've been dealing with this, and I'm tired of messing with it. Some people have said, well, put a little brick front over it and stack that up, but I don't want brick underneath or stone underneath. It just wouldn't look good, I don't think, in this application.
And it would be really thick. You'd have to find like a really thin stone that's maybe like an inch and a quarter, and then you mortar it, it's sticking out a half, you know, inch and a half further
than
your brick. Might look good from the sidewalk or the street. And I can tell you there's a house near me that just to dress up the foundation, a lot of foundation showing, they put on like a vinyl lattice material, kind of like glued to the foundation just around. So it looks kind of like lattice underneath a deck. And I have seen in the past couple years that stuff off of that foundation and them trying to put it back on at least 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole new battle of I'm trying to glue stuff to my foundation and it keeps wanting to come off because of the elements.
That's right.
And Mother Nature loves to win every time.
You can't stop Mother Nature.
That's right. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. No
thank
problem.
You
You're welcome, right. David. Good question. Something that is pretty common that we see and is a scary looking thing to a lot of people when they see that on their foundations, and are very happy to learn that it's not a huge, huge problem. So we got Tom on the line. Let's jump to Tom and see what's going on. Tom, you there?
I am.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I have another Mother Nature question for you.
Sure.
I have an exterior door that faces west, and it's in our sunroom. And every time we get a driving rain, I'm getting water coming underneath, from underneath the door at both of the corners where the door is at the threshold. I assume that's the name for it.
Uh-huh.
Light rain like we're getting today, that's no problem. But when we get a driving rain, I'm looking for a way to, okay, what can I do? I've taken off the... that adjustable threshold underneath just to see what's underneath there. That looks like it's all intact.
Yeah.
I'm kind of at a loss. I've replaced the seals, the vertical seals and the horizontal seal up at the top of the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know where to go next. Now, one thing I'm doing a little bit of research is it doesn't appear to have a sill pan on this thing, and I didn't know if that's what my basic problem is or what.
Is it vinyl siding on the home around the door?
Yes, it is.
Yep. Yeah, so you also have a siding flashing issue, and this is one of the things I was going to try and go over today a little more in detail, because of the house I was talking earlier about that I inspected. Has the exact same thing going on where there isn't any flashing around that door itself to the wall. And at the top of the door, the exterior brick mold trim, they call it, and then it turns into a siding J, a piece of J channel, then that's where the siding starts. If that door is flashed correctly and really, really well, you should have a piece of what we call a head flashing, a piece of metal that sticks out from between that J channel and that door trim and kind of creates a lip and at a 45 degree angle overhangs that trim. And what that does is it lets water that gets from inside the J or from behind the siding higher up, it takes that water and it brings it back out to the face of that trim and kind of dripping off the top on the outside of the door. So you've got water that's getting into the siding and into the J channel, and it's running down the sides of the trim to the bottom, and that's where a lot of this water comes in, and that's how it kind of gets to the backside of that frame, and it rots that frame out. So okay. The pan at the bottom is also a very good, important detail that can collect that water and get it back out at the bottom also. So you basically put that pan in, you flash tape the sides, you put the door in, you put the head trim on, you flash tape it, and you lap everything correctly, and then any water that gets around that door has now a path to get back to the outside and stay okay. out. So your best way to fix this, you're uninstalling that door and reinstalling it. So I would right. I would think about the age of the door, the condition of the door, and consider just replacing the door at the same time, possibly.
Right.
Just because of age and all that, you're really only paying, you're going to do the whole job anyways. You're really only paying for the cost of the door.
Right, right. Understood. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, the door's probably going on 20 years old. So probably makes sense to just change that out as long as it, yep. yeah, we're basically talking about, okay, take it out, redo it. Got to find a good door company to take care of this for me.
Yep, and I would ask two things I would advise you before we go here. I would say ask a lot of questions about the install, open-ended questions, and see if they kind of describe the exact same thing that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Ask a question mm-hmm. like, well, how do you keep your door from leaking? And if they just say, well, it's a better door, you're not going to have these issues, they may not understand everything I just spoke about. And you can call us at Mosby Building Arts because we have our own exteriors people. We install doors, windows, siding, all that. And we're definitely experts on performing the install that I just described.
Gotcha. Yep. Okay.
So lots of conversations for you. All right, Tom. Well, hey, I appreciate the call, the question. We got to get into our final break of the hour here. Remember, we'll have one more segment coming up. You can find me 314-436-7900. And then in the next hour, once Cardinals start, you can get us on 97.1. So stick with the Home Improvement Show. We'll be back.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, where we help you, guess what, improve your homes. You gotta love that. Everybody worried. Everybody's got stuff going on with their homes. And you know, I want to tell you, talking about improving your home, I want to spread some love from B&W Concrete, the concrete company that I use personally, that we use at Mosby Building Arts for all of our concrete. If you're looking for concrete services installed the right way, call B&W Concrete, 636-458-3626. So no shortcuts. Getting things right means way less issues down the road. Peace of mind that your work is done correctly. They are locally owned, family owned. They've been in business for over 50 years. They do every type of poured concrete, foundations, retaining walls, decorative walls, flat work. They do decorative concrete, custom. They do new construction, tear out replacement. They do absolutely everything. And for Mosby, I've got them. They're doing garage floors, driveways, room additions, foundations, all that stuff for us, and we have great luck with them. That's why they understand. We love their practices, how they do it. So you can find them online, bwconcrete.com, or just give them a call. Say Rich Orris sent you, 636-458-3626. You're not going to want to miss out on them. So we've got a lot going on today. We've had some really great questions, and going back to Tom's last kind of question topic about that door is one, unfortunately, something that we run into way, way too often. And with different types of exterior sheetings, exterior ways of keeping water out of a house, there's systems out there that are meant to be a water drainage plane, keep water off the house. They are good systems when they are installed really well and really correctly. And there's minimum ways to install that. And then there's some door and window manufacturers that go a little further that say, really, when you use these systems, you need to do our products like this. And they really need to just take every single manufacturer to that better system. They need to make that better system a part of the minimum system of all of these, just because it's not that terribly hard to do, and it's just more protection. So if you can protect a wall better, like Tom was saying, it's the west side of the wall, well, you can take an existing home and you can make that west side of the wall better, and the other sides won't be any better, but maybe they don't get the same wind-driven rains, so you just don't have that issue as often on a different side of the house. Or you've got neighbors or people across the street, they're like, well, their house never does this. Well, but you're on the other side of the street, you're facing a different way, and you're having issues because of how the elements are hitting your home. So I was just looking over a home that had a lot of the door leaks and a couple window leaks, and they're having us look at the home for that same thing I was just talking to Tom about. It's like, what is it? How bad is it? How do we fix it? What do we got to do? And it's very, very common that top of the door head flashing is not there and nothing's installed there. And I'm telling everyone out there that water gets behind vinyl siding. It just does. When it gets around those J channels and it runs down the side, it's behind that siding when it gets to the bottom of whatever that is. And that means everything. I was just explaining the other day when I'm doing this home inspection that it's not just a door, it's not just a window. It's the vent from the dryer. It's the gable vent that's letting air in and out of the attic. Flash tape that thing properly and make it really, really work well to that wall system so that water gets around there. It stays on top of that drainage plane, doesn't get through it. In that drainage plane, this zip system I was looking at and peeling siding back, there's all sorts of areas that they didn't tape. They didn't do those flashings, and they didn't do the right nailing pattern. They had nails spread out too far. There's just so many things with it. Nails driven too deep. It's just pretty, pretty amazing, you know, how that is. So, hey, we got Sandy just jumped on the line. We got really, really very little time. Sandy, can you just get your question out there? And I may need to finish an answer in the next segment over, you know, in the next hour. But what do you got for us?
Well, I was wondering what Rhino Shield is and what your opinion of that is.
Ah, so Rhino Shield is like a paint that's very durable, very, very hard. It's almost like putting like a porcelain or like a bed liner when they do like the rubber bed liner. It's a very good, very tough surface. It's a great way to paint and not have to worry about painting again, except what I'm telling and what I've talked to so many people today about with the foundation and the water getting behind it. Rhino Shield doesn't let moisture vapor, things like that out of it. So you got to watch if water gets behind it, it will last longer than the wood that it's put on. So you got to make sure all of that's good and sturdy. So I can touch on this a little bit more in the next hour. I got to get to our hard hour break for everybody else. 314-436-7900. Sandy, if you need more, hang on through the break and we'll talk into the next hour.
Kingdom OX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, where we help you, guess what? Improve your homes. You gotta love that. Everybody worried. Everybody's got stuff going on with their homes. And you know, I want to tell you, talking about improving your home, I wanna spread some love from B&W Concrete, the concrete company that I use personally, that we use at Mosby Building Arts for all of our concrete. If you're looking for concrete services installed the right way, call B&W Concrete, 636-458-3626. So no shortcuts. Getting things right means way less issues down the road. Peace of mind that your work is done correctly. They are locally owned, family owned. They've been in business for over 50 years. They do every type of poured concrete, foundations, retaining walls, decorative walls, flat work. They do decorative concrete, custom. They do new construction, tear out replacement. They do absolutely everything. And for Mosby, I've got them. They're doing garage floors, driveways, room additions, foundations, all that stuff for us. And we have great luck with them. That's why they understand. We love their practices, how they do it. So you can find them online, bwconcrete.com, or just give them a call. Say Rich Orris sent you, 636-458-3626. You're not going to want to miss out on them. So we've got a lot going on today. We've had some really great questions. And going back to Tom's last kind of question topic about that door is one, unfortunately, something that we run into way, way too often. And with different types of exterior sheetings, exterior ways of keeping water out of a house, there's systems out there that are meant to be a water drainage plane, keep water off the house. They are good systems when they are installed really well and really correctly. And there's minimum ways to install that. And then there's some door and window manufacturers that go a little further that say, really, when you use these systems, you need to do our products like this. And they really need to just take every single manufacturer to that better system. They need to make that better system a part of the minimum system of all of these, just because it's not that terribly hard to do, and it's just more protection. So if you can protect a wall better, like Tom was saying, it's the west side of the wall, well, you can take an existing home and you can make that west side of the wall better, and the other sides won't be any better, but maybe they don't get the same wind-driven rains, so you just don't have that issue as often on a different side of the house. Or you've got neighbors or people across the street, they're like, well, their house never does this. Well, but you're on the other side of the street, you're facing a different way, and you're having issues because of how the elements are hitting your home. So I was just looking over a home that had a lot of the door leaks and a couple window leaks, and they're having us look at the home for that same thing I was just talking to Tom about. It's like, what is it? How bad is it? How do we fix it? What do we got to do? And it's very, very common that top of the door head flashing is not there and nothing's installed there. And I'm telling everyone out there that water gets behind vinyl siding. It just does. When it gets around those J channels and it runs down the side, it's behind that siding when it gets to the bottom of whatever that is. And that means everything. I was just explaining the other day when I'm doing this home inspection that it's not just a door. It's not just a window. It's the vent from the dryer. It's the gable vent that's letting air in and out of the attic. flash tape that thing properly and make it really, really work well to that wall system so that water gets around there. It stays on top of that drainage plane, doesn't get through it. In that drainage plane, this zip system I was looking at and peeling siding back, there's all sorts of areas that they didn't tape. They didn't do those flashings, and they didn't do the right nailing pattern. They had nails spread out too far. There's just so many things with it. Nails driven too deep. It's just pretty, pretty amazing, you know, how that is. So, hey, we got Sandy just jumped on the line. We got really, really very little time. Sandy, can you just get your question out there? And I may need to finish an answer in the next segment over, you know, in the next hour. But what do you got for us?
Well, I was wondering what Rhino Shield is and what your opinion of that is.
Ah, so Rhino Shield is like a paint that's very durable, very, very hard. It's almost like putting like a porcelain or like a bed liner when they do like the rubber bed liner. It's a very good, very tough surface. It's a great way to paint and not have to worry about painting again, except what I'm telling and what I've talked to so many people today about with the foundation and the water getting behind it. Rhino Shield doesn't let moisture, vapor, things like that out of it. So you got to watch if water gets behind it, it will last longer than the wood that it's put on. So you got to make sure all of that's good and sturdy. So I can touch on this a little bit more in the next hour. I got to get to our hard hour break for everybody else. 314-436-7900. Sandy, if you need more, hang on through the break and we'll talk into the next hour.